Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this beautiful community of faith, and we're grateful to gather in this moment. Today is, actually, life is just a little bit different. The room kind of tilts this direction right now. There's some heaviness on Brendan's left hand that was not there. And he is miraculously with us this morning playing the piano, and we are grateful for that. And then he and Elizabeth are taking off for a trip. Welcome on the beauty of this day. We have all been over in Monterey for the last couple of days celebrating the love of Brendan and Elizabeth together, and now we're grateful to gather with you all in this moment. Especially grateful to have Reverend Kim Montenegro with us. Kim is a colleague and a friend of ours. Her official title is Director of Religious and Spiritual Life at University of Pacific, which is just south of here in Stockton, for those that aren't familiar. We're going to move together in worship with a song which comes to us from another friend. This is a song that comes to us from Rachel Kurtz, who's based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as an artist and songwriter. So I'll invite you to stand in body or in spirit, and we'll move together into worship.
So some of y'all might already know what we're about to sing, But if this is your first time, you're getting thrown to the deep end, and we're gonna make you sing with us. So it goes just like this.
One day you finally knew what you had to do, and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt the old tug at your ankles. "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. Though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save.
You gotta come down and get up the highs for the lonely. You'll never see God's face. God's favor goes to the meek and mild. For them, God's made a place. So consider today the best one. For the truth has been your ear. If you wanna be a blessed one, the word has made it clear. question of the rich one. Is your grip too tight to go? Is it ever good for one to gain the world and lose his very soul? You gotta just lay down yourself, young one. Let off some marrow, won't you now? God's got your blessing, but you gotta come down and get at the highest for the lonely. And I don't care what you say, the highest for the lonely. It's just God's way. The more you got, you are, the more that you will gain. I done told you once, there's not forget.
Let's breathe. Let's breathe and breathe out. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those online at table.live. Our host, Kara Tupi, is with you, and she's there to guide you. This week, my sister-in-law and my nephew moved from Fiji Islands. They migrated from Fiji. And I was just wondering this as I was coming in. I could see their eyes with confusion. I could see their eyes with a lot of curiosity. I could see the pain, and I could see the joy. And I've gone through that feeling. And I was thinking about my first day when I walked into the table, because I had the same feeling. I am giving them space. I am giving them the time to process. At the same time, as I see new people walking into to the table, and as I walked into the table the first time, I was kind of mirroring what I'm seeing and what I have experienced. And whenever I'm welcoming new people, I'm very mindful of all that. And the love that we all have to share. And that's something I've learned, grown, and very hopeful that I'm receiving it from here and have the ability to give it out. And we have the ability to hold on to that love together and spread it out. So thank you. Thank you for each and everyone for teaching that lesson to me and spreading it amongst each other. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared with those online. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. I would like to invite each and everyone to the hospitality team. You would be seeing multiple emails sent out for sign-up sheets. There's a link there. You'll click into that link through your email. It will take you to our website. And there you can sign up for the positions that are suitable for you. Also, you can use your app. It's a chat center app. It shows the sign-up sheet instantly when it's available without even seeing the email. It's there. And you can use that app and go through it. The app is very simple. It's just you go to your app center and download Chat Center app, use the phone, and when you're here, it will show the table. And instantly you're connected because your data is in our system. So that would allow you to sign up. Yes, the sign up for July and even parts of August is also open, so please sign up. Also, there's a listening assistant device right at the back. We're still in the testing phase, and you could see that number two, which is we say don't use, because right now it has a lot of statics. We tested it out last week. I even like checked it right now. It still has the statics. So Corey and the group of people, they are still fixing a few things. But please, whenever you're taking this device, put your name down, and you can use it. And if it does give you a problem, let me know. I'll write it out, don't use, and we'll try to fix that out. So we have a listening assistant device. It's still in a testing phase. It will take a little time, but we'll have it. We have it available, but it's some of them have statics, and the voices is not, it's super loud or it's super low. So we're still in that phase. So, yeah. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing Free by Good Shepherd Collective.
Sleepless night, I can't hold. My name is Bob Martinez, and right now we want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary as our amazing musicians help them break on through to the Summer's Children Ministry. I want to remind families that we have made the switch to our children's summer ministry. They'll begin inside, outside, just outside the sanctuary, and then move outdoors to the playground for a story, even though it's a little warm. Our reading this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Mark, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and of course we invite you to follow along. Creator sets free Jesus and his followers canoed back to the other side of the lake. As soon as he arrived, a great crowd began to gather around him at the lake shore. A man named He Gives Light, Jairus, a headman of the local gathering house, pushed his way through the crowd and fell down on his knees in front of Creator Sets Free. "My little girl is almost dead," he begged him urgently. "She is my only daughter. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and live." So Creator Sets Free went with him. The crowd also trailed along, pressing in around him on all sides. Now there was a woman in the crowd who had been bleeding for more than 12 winters. She had spent all she had putting up with medicine men who were not able to heal her, and she was getting worse. Under tribal law, this woman would be considered unclean, and even the things she touched would be unclean also, isolating her from friends and from family. She would not be able to marry or to participate in the gathering house for prayer. When she heard about Creator Sets Free, she pressed through the crowd and came up close behind him. She reached out her hand and touched his outer garment, for she had said to herself, "If I can only touch his clothes, I know that I will be healed." She touched him, and right away the blood stopped flowing, and she felt in her body that she had been healed. Creator Sets Free stopped suddenly, turned, looking around the crowd, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" For he was aware that power had gone out from him. Fear gripped the heart of this woman, for she had not announced herself as unclean. And even worse, she had touched a spiritual leader. The crowd might turn against her or even have her stoned to death. She remained silent and said nothing. Now his followers looked around, shrugged their shoulders, and said to him, "You can see that the crowds are pushing and shoving you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Creator Sets Free continued to look around to see who had touched him. The woman knew she could hide no longer, so she came forward trembling with fear, fell to the ground in front of him, and told the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, with great loving kindness in his eyes, "your trust in me has made you well. Now go in peace, for you have been healed of your disease." When Creator Sets Free was still speaking, some messengers came from the home of the headman of the gathering house. "Your little girl has crossed over to death," they said with sad faces. "Why trouble the wisdom keeper any longer?" The man's heart fell to the ground, and grief began to creep over him. But Creator Sets Free paid no attention to what was said. "Do not fear," he said to the headman. "Trust in me alone, and all will be well." He would not permit any to go with them except stands on the rock, Peter, and he takes over, James. Along with his brother, he shows goodwill, John, his most trusted message bearers. As they came near the house of the headman, they saw and heard an uproar. People were weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered into the house, Creator Sets Free said to them, "Why are you making such a noise? Do not weep. This child is not dead. She only sleeps." But they only scorned and laughed at him, for they knew that she was dead. So he put them all out of the house, except his most trusted message bearers, and the father and the mother. He went with them into where the girl lay. He took hold of her hand and said in his native language, "Talitha kumi," meaning, "Little girl, wake up." She stood up right away and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. Her father and her mother stood there, amazed beyond words, weeping for joy, for their little girl was alive. Creator Sets Free had them give her some food to eat and then firmly told them not to tell anyone what had happened. My friends, I invite you now to stand as our music team presents "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go."
May the words of my mouth and the precious squeals of those all around us be heard by you, gracious and beautiful God, in this moment and in all moments that we share with you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to come to you confessionally today. Is that okay? When I first heard the sermon topic for the day, I will tell you I was alone in my office, and I may have groaned and rolled my eyes just a little bit. Ugh. Healing? Really? How am I supposed to preach on something I too am seeking? I too am in need of. I too am looking for in all areas of my life. In the scripture, it's clear what needs to be healed. A woman's been bleeding for 12 years. This little girl is dead. Easy peasy fixes, right? Whip it up. Put it on order. While there are momentous healings that are truly in need of a miracle, what do we do when we recognize our own brokenness and yet don't know how to heal? I see this. Not only in myself, but in other people. We see this in so many areas. People who are seeking healing through Western medicine, Eastern medicine, therapy, tarot cards, TikTok explanations of your attachment style. It is everywhere. Which means we know something is off. Something's just not quite. Something we can't quite put our finger on it. But we know it's not sustainable for true, full life. In the case of scripture today, it's clear what's needed. And let's also be clear, this is a really bold woman. Although she approaches Jesus secretly, she's without a male sponsor. No man is escorting her there. She is there as she is impure, and as we heard, she should be isolated and off to herself. Her impurity is a sign of social isolation. I heard some giggles when they were talking about her being impure. She was bleeding for 12 years. Any guess? The women are smiling more than the men I'm seeing. She was menstruating for 12 years straight, and this cut her off from her religious community, from financial stability. She had no choice at all other than to continue this life or to act daringly and boldly. You know it's a big deal because scripture tells us about this woman. She had suffered a lot under the care of medical practitioners. She had already sought the TikTok therapist and gone to people who said that they could fix her. There was no more help that this woman was going to be offered, and I'm sure her family and friends had long ago accepted the fate that she no longer was a part. No religious holidays with her present. No time with family. No time seen for 12 years children grow. It was her desperateness that brought her to this moment. And she reaches out to touch his clothes. She is so bold. Also, let me just parenthetically say, I love this part because Jesus is so sassy. He's like, who touched me? It's like there's very few times you see Jesus loses his cool, and this is one of them, which I love, because it makes me feel like I too can lose my cool and still be like Jesus. Who touched me is such a diva moment. And she has so much faith that she's like, all I have to do is get a piece of his clothing. It reminds me when I had toddlers and they would just cling on to all parts of anything they could grab to like touch you. And she has that type of hope. She has that type of faith of, if I can just get my hand to him, I know I will be healed. Jesus is so sassy that the disciples are also like, bro, do you not see? Everybody is here. You're gonna get a little pushed. You're gonna get touched. But there was a moment that only those two shared. She knew it and he knew it.
She knew instantly she was cured and healed, and he instantly knew someone had touched him and it took something from him. They knew. And as immediate as Jesus gets sassy, he immediately also switches his tone. He was a witness to her brokenness. He saw her fully and completely, and he tells her her faith has made her well. You may be sitting there whispering to yourself, like I said, really? If it were only that simple. If I only had faith, I would be healed. If only at 2 a.m. when I woke up and prayed to God for this to be taken from me, if that's only what it took. If I prayed with those who I love so deeply in their moments of crisis or in the hospital room, I too would be changed. The story can allow us sometimes to feel like our faith is just not enough. That if we prayed harder and did more and offered more, we too could be healed. But that's not the case. She was made whole in this moment because of her encounter to Jesus. She is changed, and Jesus in that moment is also changed. But it fits into a larger contextual story of what healing is and how it's understood biblically. How Jesus interacts with people, we'll get to that in a second. Let's go to the story of the little girl who died. Jesus overhears her powerful father who has left for the day to come hear Jesus preach. People come to him and say, "Your daughter is dead, I'm sorry." He overhears this. And just by overhearing, he says, "Do not fear, only believe." There's a difference here, right? The woman was bold enough to insert herself into Jesus' center, and it's the opposite here where Jesus has inserted himself into other people's business. He was completely ear hustling at this moment. And they say, "Okay. Do not fear, only believe." Again, I groan, "Oh Jesus, so much easier said than done." Fear and faith. Fear and faith. Where do they connect? Where do they coincide? Where do they live? Well, inside of me. The great philosopher 50 Cent once said, "You can pray about it or worry about it, but you can't do both." Well, wasn't he right? We can live with these simultaneously, often bouncing back and forth between faith and believing and also fear. It's often in the middle of the night the fear comes, when it's quiet and we're alone. That's when I say I try to micromanage what I've already given over to God. And I'm like, "Oh, and an addendum to point A, God, if you could please make it work out this way, because I've already planned 7 steps down the road how this would be perfect. So yeah, thanks. Good night." Oh, Jesus, so much easier than said than done. But Jesus tells him, "Don't fear, just believe." And he shows up at the house. And he says, "Everybody out." Again, this is another moment where Jesus gets really interesting. Sometimes he wants everybody to see, but don't tell anybody. Sometimes he only wants a small group of folks. And this time it's Peter, James, and John, the one who they will experience the transfiguration with. And mom and dad. It's an inner group. People who will receive special revelation in this moment. Peter, James, and John were also with him in the garden when he was living in a place that wasn't always full of faith, and we see his humanness slip out as he says, "Father, if it's your wish, take this from me." And he wanted silence about this healing. He did not want people to know about it. He had just left the crowds here, and he had left the crowds there, and he said, "This is just for us." He wanted silence, as he had asked for on the Jewish side of the lake. He requested food and drink, the things that often we come together for, and comfort. He showed care not just for her being raised from the dead, but the spiritual and physical and emotional and psychological well-being of this child. The first thing he says is, let's get her some food. When you look at these two particular stories of healing, and in my belief, Jesus' miracles, he's healing folks so that they are no longer in isolation. His miracles are about bringing community together. People, after their experience with Jesus, are welcomed back into community. And if we stop and think about it, isn't that the life-changing healing we're all seeking in some way? That we are in community with one another. Whether it be personal relationships that have fallen apart and we want healing for that relationship, or it's for sickness so that we don't leave those who we love. We want community at the heart of it all. It's a healing that's different than other things we've experienced. It's a healing authority that crosses boundaries. He's not supposed to be talking to this woman, let alone having her touch him. He is not able to have this because of the cultural and ethnic and gender roles that each of them fill. Also, the woman at the well who comes to get water. Remember, Jesus had sent all the disciples away so that they could go get food? And the woman shows up. She shows up at a time when no one is supposed to be there. And he says to her, what are you doing here? Again, Jesus, sassy, maybe why it's one of my favorite reasons. And she says, she doesn't tell him this, but she's here because this is the only time she can come. She's not allowed to be a part of the women who gather in the morning and talk about what's going on. No, she has to come when no one's there. So she gets sassy right back at Jesus. And she says, why don't you pour me some water? She's a little irritated. This is her time. And it's through this interaction that Jesus recognizes this woman needs to be in community. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus chooses not to leave people in conditions in which he finds them. And he knows he has the life-giving power to alter that condition. As soon as she touched him, she knew she was healed. And he knew it too. Jesus' ministry was all about bringing people together, to lower the bar on what separates us, whether it be cultural, political, spiritual, even so with death. What? Even so in death? We've never heard of such a thing. That when you're gone from me, you are not. When I can no longer see you, you come with me? How is this possible? How is it that healing, when we are healed, can allow us to be present with those we don't see, we yearn for, we miss? Both the woman who is not named, because we can assume she didn't have very many material goods, say that three times fast, due to her being ostracized from society, and Jairus, who was a wealthy, elite man. He hears both of their calls. One is seeking healing for themselves, the other for their child. One publicly, and one secretly. There is no difference when we come down to it. They were all in need of healing, and Jesus sees that and uses that moment to bring them back into the fold. To say, you're not that broken, you're not that gone, you're not that isolated, you are not by yourself. We are here with you. So I return to my groan and your understanding of it. What do we do when we recognize our own brokenness and yet do not know how to heal? We move in the way of the bleeding woman. We must be bold. We must recognize that we need help and seek it, and we have faith. We move in the way of Jairus and we listen to Jesus. We show up with our broken heart and seeking healing. We ask for faith to be present with us, as sometimes we're filled with fear. But most importantly, we move in the way of Jesus, extending community to those who have none. We move with a small group of folks that are committed to the kingdom and building the world to be a better place. We are inclusive at all cost, even when that means we are isolated from the places we were a part of to move to the outside. We offer food and drink to those in need, and we sit by their side as they come to themselves. We love each other, even when the schedule doesn't fit ours. She was dead, and Jesus said, "Don't worry, I am here with her." And through healing others, we also begin to understand what it means to heal ourselves. As we sang earlier, we shall all be free. Love will overcome, and our fear cannot be greater than our faith. Amen. Amen.
You're good. Stay right where you are. Okay. At the end of his life, Jesus could have done any number of things, and what he chose to do was to share a practice or an invitation that would invite us just into this place that Pastor Kim has named, to common union, to communion, into a sense, in a deep sense of belonging and healing, a movement from isolation into life together. That is the invitation that we make every time we gather here at the table, is to be remembered or brought back together as one in and with and through God's love. And so as a church, we make that the center of our life, that practice of communion, and we return to that now, acknowledging first some of the ways that we stumble at opening ourselves up to healing, and some of the ways we stumble in being present to the lives of others around us who long for healing. And the church names that a prayer of confession. So I invite you to stand either in body or in spirit, and we'll move together into a prayer of confession that opens with a unison prayer, and then we'll go back and forth. So let us be in a spirit of prayer. God calls us to take risk, to be like the woman touching Jesus' garment, who's reaching for healing for herself, or the parent who risks the scorn of others to bring Jesus to his dying daughter. May we wonder about the places in our lives where we may resist turning to God for healing and change. Friends, I'll say this first part and invite you to join with me in the bold. When we resist your call to open our hearts, to allow your grace to enter, God, have mercy. When we close our eyes to your new and unexpected possibilities of healing and reconciliation, Christ, have mercy. When we allow fear to overwhelm us and cling to the security of what we know instead of risking new steps toward your freedom and your justice, God, have mercy. Friends, God's mercies come to us anew with each dawn. So may you know and trust in the depth of your heart the love of God which meets you in this moment and never, never lets you go. Friends, we are forgiven, welcomed people to God's table. May you feel that love and forgiveness and welcome in the depth of your being in this moment. May the people of God say amen.
Amen. When we talk with God, it's not us talking to God or God telling us what to do. It's a call and a response where we hear and then we listen. We speak and then we are quiet. So let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and to celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and with every neighbor.
Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.
and also with you.
Amen. We invite you to turn to one another and share a symbol of peace with those nearest to you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky, and God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit began to grow ripe, and to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, all of this is good." And then they paused. They rested in the depth of God's love. But they couldn't stay there for long because God's people started to feel isolated. They started to separate one from another, and they lacked that sense of deep belonging. So God reached inside God's heart and pulled out community and love and healing and hope and placed in a form that people might come to recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of God's deep love and to call us to love one another.
Loves us and to show us how to love each other. But guess what? We couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about that. We were afraid and living in fear. The principalities, the powers that lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best, because the challenge was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends at the table and promised them, promised us, that he would never leave us alone, that he would wake us from the dead, he would heal us from our every ill, but he would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends who don't always understand the message of Jesus that Jesus brings us, or what's coming, going and coming again means to us, we can only be grateful and call out the mystery of faith.
Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna.
Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it. He gave thanks to you, God, and said, I am sharing this meal with you now so you can share it together whenever you gather and remember me. Together the words that Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language that is most dear and true in your own heart.
Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. Friends, I invite you to be seated. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what is called an open communion table. All are welcome and invited. For those that are gathering online at home, we invite you to gather at this moment whatever you might use for your bread and for your juice, as we together are in this time of common union, of communion, of breaking bread, of sharing in life together. For those that are here in the sanctuary, we will share in stations. There'll be stations here in the front of the sanctuary and also in the back of the sanctuary. We'll move. It'll be somewhat of a divine dance as we find our way supporting one another in this space. And we want to first say there is nothing that you can do to make a mistake, that we will support each other and care for each other, practice being the people of God as we move in this sanctuary and then are called out into the sanctuary of the whole world. The bread that has been prepared for us by Annie this weekend is on the plates that are before us. In the center of the plates, you'll find an option that doesn't have gluten. And always in our tradition, you'll find grape juice in the cup. And so you'll take a piece of the bread and dip that in the juice. And there are places around you, all around the sanctuary, to be in a spirit of prayer. And we invite you to move there now or as you feel led at any moment in this time, or to just be right where you are. Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you and for the whole world, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for all. Kim, the bread of life broken for you. We encourage those praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of the holy mystery through which we are woven in the threads of your grace, through the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, we give you thanks. May your love bind us together, and may your hope call us into the world as instruments of your peace and your healing. Amen. Friends, it is our hope that you might wonder together with us about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take in this moment, to go from this place wondering about what healing looks like in our own lives and in the communities in which we live and move and have our being. A couple of notes or invitations. One is just outside. You'll find bread from Rise Up and Ezekwe. They'll be baking, test baking toward the end of this month. We just learned yesterday, actually, that they'll be moving in the next couple of weeks to test bake just down the hall, and we're really excited about that. We also have had exciting meetings down at the farm about the next steps as we move the farm from its current location in Hollywood Park down just a little bit further south. And we're excited to start to share more about those next steps as they become clearer to us in the coming weeks. We would ask for your help in one important way, and that is to sign up to watch over our children in love this summer outside during worship at 9:30. So if you haven't had a chance yet to go online and to sign up for one of those dates, we'd encourage you to do that now. Sarneet and others will be at the Next Steps table. If you have any questions and would like to connect more deeply, we would invite you to move to that space at this moment. I'll invite us to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians will send us out. This is a song called Dig a Little Deeper.
I wanna dig.
from this place, dig deep. Don't stay in the shallow. You gotta go deep for it to make it count. That's where you meet Jesus. In the fear, there's freedom. In the pain, there's liberation. In the singing, there is overcoming. And all of this is because of God's greatness, God's goodness, and God's love for you. So as you leave from this place, go with God's love, go with God's peace, go with God's blessing, and don't hoard it. Share it everywhere you go. Go in peace.